This is FBG Jen
and FBG Kristen.
And I'm FBG Margot, host and producer. You're listening to the podcast that will help you keep a lid on the junk in the trunk and inspire you to live a happy and confident life.
Each episode, we chat with motivational experts and celebs and share our own candid adventures in being healthy.
If you're looking for a podcast that's equal parts hilarious and enlightening, well, then welcome to the Fit Bottoms Girls podcast.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Today's show, it's a dynamic duo once again. This is Margot, and I'm on the line with Kristen.
Hi, guys.
And today we speak to an actual supermodel. Her name is Molly Sims. She was 8 months pregnant when we did this interview. Just to tell you guys, we recorded this interview a couple of months ago. She was pregnant. She was basically lying on her bed, she said, talking into her iPad in the only comfortable position she could be in because she was so pregnant.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. I could feel how pregnant she was, like the way she talked. But she was an absolute delight. She's so nice. And you know, Kristen and I had a really great conversation with her, and I was actually kind of surprised at how honest and vulnerable she was with us. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. She was like, she was very real. She was not sugarcoating things. Like, she really gave us her answers, which was awesome.
Yeah. And you guys are going to hear them. You might even be a little bit shocked, but she, like we said, she was just really, really cool. And I guess it's just something like everybody has a certain amount of self-esteem issues. You know, if you feel like you feel bad about yourself because you have a self-esteem issue, you see yourself poorly sometimes or have a less than positive body image, like so does Molly. And my God, you know, if she can't wake up in the morning thinking she's completely awesome in every way, you know, what the hope is there for the rest of us? But I guess, you know, it's so hard in this culture, you know, the way beauty and the standards for beauty that have been, you know, I basically inflicted upon us since we were kids, you know, she feels it too. And I think that it's kind of comforting to know that, you know,
it is. I think there's, you know, there's the two ways to look at it. There's one of, you know, one of the ways is you can look at it and think, oh, well, if she finds flaws, then, you know, like you said, what hope do any of us have?
Right.
But I think the way that I choose to spin it for myself and for anybody who wants to listen to me get up on my soapbox is that, you know, everybody can find a flaw in themselves or in anybody else. Like if you're looking for it, you can find it. The most perfect, you know, specimen you can imagine, someone can come through and say, oh, well, I don't really like where her belly button is, mm-hmm. or, you know, her eyes are too symmetrical. What, you can find something, but you don't have to. So, and it sounds like, I mean, I think that that's something that Molly's working on. We're working on everybody who's really kind of pushing for the body, you know, the body positive movement. You know, everybody works on this all the time. It's just choosing to see the beauty. Choosing to see what's good and choosing to feel that as much as you possibly can.
It can be really hard. And when she was talking, I kind of flashed back to my magazine days, and I usually somehow became friends with the model booking editors because I would book fashion segments for the editors on television. So the mm-hmm. model bookers would help me book the models for television, and they would just show me these lookbooks for models. And I would look around their office like, oh my God, these women are all so beautiful. But they would be kind of like, yeah, but her legs are a little short, and this one, her eyes are just a little too close together, and this one, I don't know about that. And the scrutiny that these women are under, men and women are under.
Yeah.
It's, I just don't think I could handle, I know I couldn't handle it.
No.
It would be too hard for me. So, I guess I wanted to ask you, like, when you have negative self-talk, like, is there any way, how do you boost yourself? How do you give yourself a boost when that happens?
Well, it's tough. Like, sometimes I try to figure out where it's coming from. And a lot of times that, like, if I'm looking at myself and I'm thinking, like, oh, geez, like, like my midsection does not tend to slim down in the same way that some of the other parts of my body might.
Same here.
So there are times when I'll look at it and think like, oh man, I really wish that was like right and tight. But you know, sometimes that's kind of tied to the fact that maybe I have been overindulging more than I typically do. And I just try to think like, okay, so was it worth it to go to happy hour a couple days in a row with my friends and have a really great time and feel maybe not my best physical self right now? And yeah, usually the case is that, yeah, totally sure. Worth it. Otherwise I wouldn't do it. Or I, you know, I just will choose to say, well, you know what, this is you, and all of the things about you, perfect, imperfect, whatever, like, that all makes up my character and makes up who I am. Mm-hmm. So if I can just learn to love it as it is.
Right.
Which for the most part, I mean, I really do. I mean, and I think that might sound cocky, but,
no, not at all.
You know, like I'm not supermodel sized or shaped or anything, but like I love what I've got.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this body does a whole lot for me and I'm really thankful. So kind of changing that focus over to like to an attitude of more gratitude,
mm-hmm.
I find really helpful, and it doesn't necessarily, it's not really an exact flip, but it just changes the conversation with myself.
You know, this,
if that makes sense. Yeah, what about you?
Totally. You know what? I just, like, flashing back to our interview with Elizabeth Goodman Artis of Shape Magazine, and she talked about, what do you like about your shape? Like, what do you like about your body? And she's like, I'm really resilient. That's what I love about my body. And it's like, I'm kind of have that as well. I have a lot of resiliency, and I have to remember, like, if something doesn't look exactly the way I like it, I move really fast. You know, I heal quickly. I'm also a person, like, I'm smart. I'm funny. You know, I have other...
Gosh darn it, people like me.
And gosh darn it, people like me, and not everybody has that, and not everybody can, like, you know, talk on a podcast, and not everybody can do what we do, and there's lots of things I can do that, you know, so this one little section of my body isn't absolutely perfect, like, who cares? And also, when I heard Molly Sims say what she does, which you guys will hear in the interview today, I'm like, wow, okay, so she goes through it too, so, you know, all right.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's normal, but yeah. That's what makes it all the more important that, you know, when we hear one another start talking about that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear a friend say, oh gosh, my thighs are just, you know, step in and help her build herself up.
Yep.
Or build himself up. I mean, it's men and women both face this. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like, you might find it hard to do for yourself, but I bet you won't find it hard to do for your best friend or for someone who you just care even a little bit about. So let's maybe make a point to do that, to be that person for those around us. And eventually they're going to pick up on it and they're going to be there and do that for you too. So I don't know. What do you
think?
Like, can we
do that?
That?
I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that. Hashtag that. That's beautiful.
Yes.
Okay. So today we're going to do a little different thing. We're going to do, just because it's a special fashion-y kind of segment that we're doing today, because we're talking to a supermodel. We're going to pick our top three style icons, and my list keeps jumbling. I'm going to have to pull out Audible here for a couple of them, I think. But,
Oh boy.
Okay. So top three. So number three for me, it's Princess Diana. I loved her. I absolutely loved her. I just loved everything about her. I thought, first of all, I just loved how brave she was and all the good work that she did throughout her life. But man, she could wear a dress. I mean, she could wear some of the cheesiest 80s fashions and still sell it. You know, she just had that thing. You know, she was 5'10". You know, she just had like that model physique, that beautiful face. But she also just had that spirit about her that like just shone through. And I miss it. It's been 20 years, I think, now, hasn't it? Since she's been
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, so that's my number three, Princess Diana.
Oh boy. Well, I think that probably my number three is going to have to be Cate Blanchett.
Ooh.
Because I, like, that woman is fearless.
Yep.
And one of the things that I truly believe about clothes and style in general is that, like, if you're wearing it and not letting it wear you,
mm-hmm.
it's probably going to work. Of course, there are always going to be things that are more flattering or less flattering. And obviously there are certain body types that can more easily carry off a variety of styles,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I mean, that woman can just, you know, there are things that I've seen her wear that are, they are ridiculous. Like, they make no sense in the world that we live in. And yet she goes walking down a red carpet and I can't take my eyes off of her. And I just think, like, that's so far beyond fashion. Like, that is style.
Yeah.
I love it.
She is a modern day style icon. I totally agree. And she's just a fantastic actress too. I mean, she played Katharine Hepburn.
Oh, yes.
And it wasn't crazy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's another icon for you right there.
Yes.
that's an awesome choice. Okay. So my number two, Michelle Obama. the First Lady of the United States. She's so strong. I love her arms. You know, I love how strong she is. I love how she carries herself. And I just think, I think she's beautiful, and I just love what she's been wearing. You know, it's, I'm going to miss her when they're out of the White House. Oh my God, it's going to be sad. But I just think she's gorgeous and smart, and I just love her fashion sense. Like you said, she wears the outfit. The outfit never wears her. I've never seen her in a bad outfit, ever.
Yeah.
And I just think she's a classy icon. So that's my number two.
Agree.
Thank you.
Well, mentioning Hepburns, I think that this would be a rough list without Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, and it's funny because she has a body type that is so vastly different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at the things that she wore, and they are typically not things that I'm drawn to personally. But she's another person who would just wear something. And, you know, like even in her really early films, Roman Holiday.
Yeah, I was just going to say Roman Holiday. I love that.
Yes.
Movie.
I mean, just the way she goes from regal to, you know, to girl, you know, running along the streets and everything. I just think that. I think it's fantastic, and you know, pretty much every red carpet look I saw of her, and then later on in her life when she was doing, you know, all of her
UNICEF,
her UNICEF work, and she just always looked stunning and put together. And I think that's the other thing is like I never look put together.
No, I don't either.
So I really respect that ability. So yeah, and she would look beautiful and classy and. But never like, not never, but generally it wasn't like overtly like, vroom, you know, it wasn't in your face. It was just like, you just wanted to keep watching her.
She apparently, I read some stuff about her. She apparently only had like a few outfits on her at all times. She had like a couple of black dresses, a couple of pair of black pants, a couple of white blouses, and she would just mix and match things. But it was just her chicness. That's sort of it. And like you said, like for me, something's always askew. You know, my mascara is smearing a little bit, or the hair is a little something, or, you know, something's not tucked in right. It's like always something with me. And she's just so effortlessly chic, or looked it anyway, even in casual clothes. So that's an awesome number. She's your number two?
She's my number two.
She was my number one, but I'm going to pull an audible.
Oh, dang. Sorry.
No. This is good. It'll be fun. I think you'll like this. My number one, Cher.
Okay.
I love Cher.
Cher and Bob Mackey were like the greatest combination.
Oh, I would put them together totally. Cher in the 70s, just look it up. Google that stuff and image it. Look up Google images of Cher in the 70s. Just so amazing, like mixing like Native American with disco, with rock and roll. I mean, and then in the 80s when she had the tattoos on her butt and she would like sang on that Navy ship. If I could turn back time.
Time.
Oh, I love it. And then she went disco and modern in the 90s. She is just, no one's ever going to be a Cher again. Cher is just so special, and I love it. And especially 70s Cher, there's just nothing better in my eyes.
Oh, you're so right.
That's
a really good one.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I think my number one is going to surprise you a little bit, because she's not like a huge, huge name, but it's Janelle Monáe. So she wears black and white solely. Like every red carpet she's on, she is wearing black and white, generally with a bright red lip, maybe always, I'm not sure. But she finds ways to make it look new and fresh and funky and young and awesome and stylish every single time. And I just want to be in her head for a minute and Or maybe her stylist head. I don't know. I don't know whether she has a stylist or not. But I would love to know how she's constantly reinventing things that should, by all accounts, be really similar. And they're not. She looks different and cool every time. And she's not like, the other thing that I love is that like, she really mixes, like, she'll wear like a pantsuit and then she'll wear, you know, she'll wear something shorter and, I don't know. I just think that she kills it and knocks it out of the park every time. And in another life, I want to wake up and be her.
Who is she?
She's a musician.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. Just, I'll send you the link, Marco.
Okay. I'll put in the show notes.
But yeah, I mean, she's just fantastic and she's gorgeous, period. But yeah, I just love her style.
I love that. I love our choices. Okay. So with that, why don't we just go right into our Molly Sims interview?
Let's do it.
All right, guys, here we go. Molly Sims. Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. We are so excited today. When we started up this podcast over the summer, we had no idea that one day we'd be talking to a supermodel like so quickly, but we are. So today we have Molly Sims as our guest, and Molly Sims is recognized for her work as an actress, model, active humanitarian, and author. She is often noted for her savvy sense of style and fashion, which she showcases on her newly relaunched YouTube channel and website, mollysims.com. The site offers readers original content on everything from beauty and fashion to health and wellness, and her book, The Everyday Supermodel, was released last year, January in 2015, and reached the New York Times bestseller list. In the book, she shared tips that she picked up with throughout her career, and it's the ultimate girl's guide to everything, fashion, fitness, beauty, and lifestyle. Additionally, Molly can be seen on ABC's The View as a beauty and fashion lifestyle contributor. Hello there, Molly Sims. Welcome to the show.
How are you?
We're great. So on the line today, it's me, Margo. And then we have Kristen.
Hello.
Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Molly.
So we're just really excited to get to talk to you. So we're just going to jump right in, if that's okay.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, so this is Margo. I am a huge, big-time fan of supermodels and remember the heyday of the 90s. What are your favorite moments of this time of your life?
Oh, my God. It was one of the best times, I think, because I lived in Europe. But, you know, for 6 years, I went to Vanderbilt University for a couple of years. I'm originally from Murray, Kentucky. And I left and I lived in London. I lived in Paris. I lived in Germany. I lived in Milan. I lived, you know, pretty much like – I didn't know what I was doing, but I was just doing it. And I think it made it such a time so special. I learned to dress. I learned to walk. I learned to model. I remember being in the Alexander McQueen show and I was walking in like 7-inch platform heels and we were walking on like cobblestone. And I just remember, I'm like, okay, this is a moment. And it was also just a time where like, I was definitely like, I tried to be like a goth girl. I tried to be like heroin chic. I tried to be, you know, the whole like dye your hair black. It was a good moment. I have to say it was kind of pretty.
Oh man. And I bet that your pictures from that era definitely trump all of our like, well, I guess it wasn't selfies at the time, but you know, the Polaroids
you
look and
back
stuff.
And think, oh my gosh. You know,
seriously. No. So as a model, I know that there's always just a ton of pressure to look a certain way and be a certain size. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about the pressures that you faced and how you handled them, both back when you started your career and also now that you're older and a mother.
Well, I think when I started my career, it was pretty bad. You know, I have to say there's nothing, either being an athlete or being a ballerina probably are the two hardest things with body image that a girl will have to go through. You know, for me, I had come from Kentucky from the South eating, you know, chocolate chip cookie dough and dipping her fries in her Wendy's Frosty to.
Oh, I love good. That. Oh my gosh. Sorry, continue.
Trying to enter this crazy, weird, beautiful world. And so, you know, in the very beginning, I was told I was too fat. I would never make it. I'd gone to New York and they said, you know, you have to go to Europe in order to get a book and to start to get tear sheets. And then you could maybe come back and work in a few years. And they sent me first to Germany. And when I got off the plane, they were like, oh, you're too fat. We want to send you home. We can't believe we wasted a plane ticket. That was literally like something like $737. And I just begged them. I'm like, please, can you just, I mean, it was just humiliating. They made me go get my jeans out of my car. I'd only been to Europe once with my high school French class and my mom. And there I was digging for a pair of jeans to try to show them that it was a size 6. And I just was like, please let me stay. Let me just try to make the money back. And, you know, eventually, you know, a month later I started working and then it was a really good moment because I left them after a year or so and I was making money and I'd started really doing well. And I remember I was on the cover of French Vogue in 99 or 2000 and I saw the man who had said it. His name was Andreas from ProMod and he was like, and like, it was just such like a cover girl great moment. I was at Place de Victoire. I was skinny. I learned how to dress. I was in like motorcycle skinny boots and like leather pants and I just looked fantastic. And I did the best head turn and he was like trying to talk to me and I was like, nope. not going to talk to you.
That is so amazing. So growing up in Kentucky, like, did you collect fashion magazines? Like, did you have models that you looked up to in the 80s? Like, who were they?
I loved, you know, Seventeen. I loved Mademoiselle. I loved Vogue and Harper's. You know, Kentucky isn't exactly the fashion Bible belt of the, of the states, but yeah, I was always into fashion, and my mom was really beautiful, and she was really tall, and they always asked her if she should model. And then, you know, she was like, no, we're going to finish school. And then one thing led to another, and someone asked me to send a picture in. And yeah, but I was obsessed. I mean, I loved Christie Brinkley. I loved Cindy Crawford and Christy Turlington, and, you know, all the at their, you know, Naomi Campbell at their heyday, you know, Linda Evangelista, Eva Herzegova, like all the Tatiana, like all the amazing girls.
So I'm sure that you have access to, you know, just every great trend and every terrible trend that comes through in terms of fashion. And do you have any tips for our listeners on which fashion trends to go for and which ones to pass on?
You know, I really think it's an age thing too. You know, what you can wear in your 20s, you can't wear in your 30s, and what you can wear in your 40s, you certainly can't wear in your 60s. But I also think it's more of a confident thing. I think it's someone, like for me, like I know my body. Now, whether I'm 10 pounds heavier or 10 pounds skinnier, I can either make myself appear heavier or thinner. Like, I think it's knowing how to dress and feeling confident. Like, I see women who are a size 24 who rock a dress, but it's how they carry themselves. It's how they walk in it. I see girls who are a size 0 and don't feel good because they're not comfortable being that size because they're starving themselves. So I think A, it's confidence, but I think it's B, it's knowing your body. Are you pear-shaped? Are you more like built like a guy with no hips? Are you busty? Are you, you know, there's no one trick. I mean, I think on trends, you have to be really careful. I always say kind of hit it down the middle, maybe buy one or two things that are inexpensive. Like, you know, right now we're all into the bomber jacket. You don't have to spend a fortune on a bomber jacket. Go to H&M, go to Zara, go to Mango, go to Zappos. Like, and I'm, you know, almost 8 months pregnant, and I rocked a bomber the other day over a dress that literally I've had for 5 years. So I think it's just picking those little bit of a trends. And then, you know, the army jacket looks great with jeans or with leather pants. Like, yeah, no, you're not going to be Gigi Hadid and Bella, but you can still, you know, you can still be on trend and still be fashionable, but also, you know, look appropriate.
So pivoting from fashion to skincare, you have beautiful skin. So I'm just asking, you know, what is your regimen? What do you do to make yourself, you know, look so glowing? You know, is it how you eat, or is it vitamins you take? Like, what is it that you do to look like you?
You know, I think I've always had to take care of my skin. I had, you know, adult acne, and my body kind of goes back. I think about, you know, health in three forms, you know, my hair, my skin, my nails, my weight, like it all goes together. So I've always had to take care of my skin. I had adult acne. I had it starting at like in my 20s. So it was really important. And also, like, because of my industry, having my hair done, having my nails done, having, you know, in and out of clothes, in and out of hot weather, cold weather, that I've always really had to take supplements or really be on the up and up of like, okay, what can I do? Like, for me, I've been dyeing my hair since, you know, the mid 90s, you know, whether it be black or blonde or brown or whatever. So, you know, it's important for me to use good shampoo. It's important for me to use a great mask or a great conditioner. With my skincare, it's been a little bit difficult because I suffer really bad from melasma, which is, a lot of people don't know, it's like a hyperpigmentation. They call it the pregnancy mask.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that.
And so really, like right now, I mean, it's really bad because I'm on my third pregnancy. It's from heat and hormones. And so I really have to counteract that by not staying in the skin, not staying in the sun, and really, you know, being quite rigid with, you know, what I do. I take supplements. I partnered with Nature's Bounty hair, skin, and nail gummies. I've been using them now over a year. I've been taking supplements like that for a very long time just because the vitamin C, the vitamin E, the biotin. I now wear gel nails, which are terrible. But love them. But I also have to take supplements. Like, I love the product. You know, the biotin really makes a difference with someone like me who's constantly working. And I know that, it's like I said before, if I take care of myself, I feel better about myself. And I take a prenatal, and then I take the Nature's Bounty Hair, Skin, and Nails, the gummies. They're easy to take. They're strawberry. I have to make sure I don't take too many. That's my only downfall. But, and then I, you know, with my skincare, I definitely have to do something that, you know, I do Tata Harper's line because it's, you know, no chemicals. I can't remember if it's glycolic or salicylic that I'm allowed to take, but like the most mildest, you know, lightener that I could possibly use. But it's, you know, it's like, it's what you guys do. It's all upkeep. It's all, you know what I mean? It's all, it's work, honey.
That it is. Oh, now Molly, you mentioned that you're pregnant, and congratulations, by the way. How is this pregnancy different than your other pregnancies? And are you able to kind of stay active, and are you eating really healthy, or are you kind of indulging in some of those fun pregnancy cravings?
This has been probably the worst pregnancy. I was very sick for 4 or 5 months. I vomited at gas stations and supermarkets and parking lots. I gagged on my toothbrush, my toothpaste. I was really tired. I think also that attributes to my age, and also that I have 2 young kids. But it's definitely been, you know, I went from not eating to thinking about food. I crave cake. I crave anything chocolate. I crave sugar. I think about food. I never think about food. I'm not a foodie. And I find myself, I cannot stop. It's horrible.
Oh my God, that's incredible. I mean, so now that you are pregnant, I mean, have you changed your fitness routine at all? I mean, have you had to dial things back, or, you know, has it been working out for you?
More, which believe it or not, I did more working out than I'm doing now. I think because my third pregnancy, I just feel it so much more. And because the uterine wall is a little thinner, or probably not saying that right, but because it's my third, I don't know. It's definitely made me feel it more, you know what I mean? So I walk a lot with her. I don't really do much hiking anymore. A little bit of running, a little bit of yoga. I just do something different every couple of days.
Now, one of the things that we talk about a lot on Fit Bottom Girls is kind of changing women's conversations about their bodies to a positive place. Because women seem to get really hung up on what they don't like about themselves, and they'll even bond over it. Isn't it?
The work.
Yeah. So I wondered, I mean, there's a lot to love about you. We know this. But what's your favorite thing about your body?
Oh, my God. That's like the worst question ever. Isn't that weird that I would say that?
Yes. If I asked you what your least favorite thing, I bet you could pick it out in a second.
I put in my book. Well, I hate my arms. I put in my book. I'm like, you know that when someone shows you a picture of yourself and you're like, oh, my gosh, that's awful. I look terrible. Or I can't believe that angle or whatever. I don't like what I was wearing. And then you look at that picture literally 3 years later and you're like, damn, girl, I look good.
Like, yes.
You're like, you have to, like, I don't know. I'm very conscious of being like, okay, this is where I am. This is, you know, what I'm going to love. But it's hard. I'm not going to lie. Like, I've been in a business so long that even when I was a size zero, I always felt there was something wrong. Isn't that sad to admit?
Yeah.
It is.
But it's honest. I mean, but you know, it's unfunny because Kristen and I actually, for our last podcast that's up right now, we talked to the beauty director of Self magazine. And she talked about nowadays with millennials, they're growing up at this selfie culture that they have all this pressure on themselves to look perfect all the time in every single moment of their life. And it's terrible.
It's terrible. It's really, especially shameful for the girls that are so young and the pressure that they're feeling that they have to do all of these things and wear this makeup. And listen, I love makeup like you guys love makeup, but it's just a different pressure that I think these young girls are under. And I think it's kind of sad. I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, I've made a conscious effort, like in a way, like, yeah, I'll filter something, but like, I'm done with the whole retouching. I'm done with the whole, like, it's just not real. You know what I mean? And like, I look at sometimes people's pictures. I'm like, that doesn't even look like them.
Seriously. Step away from the Facetune, guys.
Step away from the Facetune. Also, it's like, it makes you look blurry anyway.
Yes, I don't need to think that your face is a peach.
It's weird. That's so good. But no, it's, you know, it's so funny. I'm sure it's body dysmorphia or whatever you want to call it, but I think because I was, you know, I would say picked apart for so many years. I mean, I even went to see a plastic surgeon to try to make my calves skinnier because someone was like, you're too muscular. So it's like, I'm probably the wrong girl to ask because even probably at my best, I just probably would never appreciate it.
Well, it's interesting you said that. You know, and it's like, you know, I mean, you know, you hosted House of Style back in the 90s, and you would think like in the 20 years, like we would, you know, with the inclusion of all kinds of, now it's more inclusive, our culture about beauty and what beauty looks like. And, but do you think like people are still, or maybe women especially, are still a little too hung up on perfection still?
Well, it's just the pressure. It's like, when are you going to lose the weight? How are you going to lose your baby weight? It's just the constant pressure that women have. And it's what you said with Facebook and Instagram and social. It's trying to keep up with the Joneses. It's very difficult. It's so much pressure. And women, I'm such a woman's woman. Like, mm-hmm. I love my girl squad. I love sharing information, but I've always been that girl. Like, I will help you, you know, you help me, and we'll look good doing it. But I don't know. Women are very hard on each other, and it's tricky. Sometimes it's like, I think women dress for women. Women don't dress for women. Women don't dress for men. Women dress for women, you know? And mm-hmm. I just think we have to have a much more acceptance. I love where beauty's gone. I love the Ashley Grahams, and I love the more of the, not even what I would even call plus size, but I guess it's called that because it's not even like, that's just beauty. Like, I don't know. I'm so happy it's there because, I mean, I was that girl back in 1995 trying to dye her hair and be heroin chic. So.
Wow. Yeah. Now that maybe you sort of just answered this, but if there was one thing that you could go back in time and tell yourself when you were first starting your career, like a piece of advice or a tip or anything, what would you tell yourself?
Oh gosh, don't sweat the small stuff and, you know, embrace it. Don't worry so much. I think that would probably be like the best advice, is not to worry. Everything's going to work out. And, you know, just be happy in that moment, or be happy with your body and be happy with that you're having these experiences. I think that would be the best advice I would give myself. Came out of it quite sane, believe it or not. You know, like, I know that sounds weird, but like I had a great experience. My agents were really good to me. I was one of the lucky ones, I will tell you. And I had, you know, a great experience in the past 20 years. And now, you know, if someone were to tell me that, I'd be like, oh, whatever. You know, it doesn't even, and that's why I love working with good people. It's like, even the people at Nature's Bounty, it's like, they're great company, great people. They know my philosophy. They know, you know, what I love and what I like. I just, now I don't have to work with people who I don't want to work with.
That's a fantastic position to be in, by the way.
Let me tell you, and I've worked very hard to be in that position because, you know, I've been put down. I have been, you know, put up, and it's always better to have some sort of say in your own life, you know?
Having a little agency over your life is really important to your self-esteem.
It is. Yeah. It is. And being able to be confident and make those decisions and not look back, I think that's where, as, you know, going into my 40s, like, what I thought I could make a decision on, I'm like, I look back, I'm like, why could I not make that decision? Because I was so worried if I would mess up, or I was so worried if I would do something wrong, you know? And now it's like, oh, it's okay. It's fine. No worries. It's kind of like your third kid. You're like, oh, that pacifier can stay longer than 5 seconds on the floor.
The 5 second rule counts for everything. Yeah. So, Molly, we have just one more question we want to ask you, if that's okay. So, we want to know, what was the last song you listened to before you did this podcast interview?
What was the last song I listened to? The last song I listened to was a phenomenal one. It was called The Wheels on the Bus.
It's a classic.
Really classic. And I'm sure it's one that you guys will forever remember. It was a nursery rhyme called "The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round," and then the washers go swish wash swish wash, and the change goes clickety clack. But that was the last song that I listened to, and that was about 35 minutes ago.
That is the best answer by far, I have to say.
Yes, and we can expect Molly Sims' debut album, "The Wheels on the Bus," coming out soon.
Exactly. Someone was like, "When was the last time?" I'm like, "We just finished our second book. We think it's going to be called 'The Everyday Supermama.'" And it was so funny. We were going over the introduction, and it was like, in 5 years, I've gone from a single girl storing my sweaters basically in my oven to taking 37-second showers to still having 3 fur babies, dogs, and now I'm on my third child, and I've only been married for 5 years. So I definitely have
a good time. Oh, my goodness.
Oh. Thank you guys so much.
Well, thank you so much for being on our show today. It's a big thrill for us. You're an amazing interview, and I hope we can have you on again someday, especially when your book is ready.
Absolutely. You guys got a great site, and it's really good that you support women being whatever shape, size. It's a really good thing.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that so much.
All right. Well, have a good week, and you guys, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, Molly.
All right. Thank you, guys.
That's it for this episode of the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And if you love what you're hearing, yay, leave a few stars and a review. That would be amazing. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media channels for Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Zen, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Mamas. You just spell it all out and you will find us. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram. Believe me, you will find us. If you want to reach out to say hi, have a question about a recent episode or interview, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if books and movies are also your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book Versus Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts. Thank you so much once again for dropping by. And remember, a life filled with laughter is a life well lived. Bye.